Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And I'll be reading the first 13 verses of Philippians 4 with special attention this morning on verses 6 and 7. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, and by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Again, we'll be focusing specifically on verses 6 and 7 this morning. I'll read those again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from Philippians chapter 4. We find ourselves in the midst of some very familiar verses in the book of Philippians. I would imagine that most people, when they read the book of Philippians, turn to chapter 4 and quote and use these verses at various times in their lives. Last week, we focused specifically on verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Very familiar verse for many of us and to many Christians that we know. This week we begin looking at verses 6 and 7, which are again very familiar verses and perhaps used by you or by others around you as words of comfort in various times in your lives. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the beginning of really a two-part sermon. We're going to begin today looking at verse 6. And of course, as we look at these two verses, you've perhaps used these for various circumstances in your lives. Perhaps if you've had a job interview that was important to you, perhaps if you're facing a serious surgery or have friends that face such surgeries, you use these words to comfort yourself and to comfort others as a reminder that God is behind all things. But the question we need to ask about verses 6 and 7 this morning is, why has God given us these verses? Is God's sole purpose for us to use them at specific times when we are in need, when we face difficult circumstances, when we are concerned about the future, when we feel anxious about whatever situation is going on in our lives. Has God given us these verses solely for the purpose of words of comfort and strength, and to know that He will still provide for us in some way, though we do not know how? Well, for the answer to that question, we've got to look a little bit here at the context of these verses. In verse 5, Paul begins by saying, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." Now, what does he mean? Let your gentleness be evident to all. Well, the answer to that is found in verse 2 of chapter 4, where he writes that he pleads with Euodia and he pleads with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Here we have a dispute going on in the Philippian church. These two women are at each other's throats. They are arguing and complaining about one another. It is a dispute that has become so serious, everyone in the church is affected and is taking sides about this issue, whatever it is. And Paul goes so far as to encourage others in the church, verse 3, loyal yoke fellow, to help these women who have been so faithful in the past to work out this difficulty among them. So here we have a church where there is a difficulty between these two women. Others in the church are affected by it. And Paul's words in verse 5 are this: let your gentleness be evident to all. The word for gentleness, the Greek word for gentleness, Paul uses at other places in his letters. And those other places he uses the word are in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was gentle and meek and who functioned in moderation. In other words, what Paul is saying here in verse 5 is he's reminding them of the type of character in which they are to have. They are at odds with one another. They are at each other's throats over whatever this issue is. And Paul says to them, let your gentleness be evident to all. He is reminding them who they are in Christ Jesus. They belong to Jesus Christ. He is near them. They are in union with Him. And as those who belong to Jesus Christ, their gentleness, the gentleness of Christ, not arguing and complaining, should be evident to all. But why? Why do they need to let their gentleness be evident to all? Well, look at the end of verse 5. Because the Lord is near. Now, when the apostle writes that the Lord is near, it has a twofold meaning. Not only does it mean that the Lord is near as He is coming again, but it also is a reminder to them once again of who they are in Christ Jesus. They belong to Christ Jesus. They have union with Christ Jesus. He is near them at all times in their lives. And if the Lord is near them and they belong to Him, the character of Christ must be evident in their lives, meaning, let your gentleness be evident to all. Instead of arguing and disagreeing with one another and causing a dispute, your gentleness should be evident to all, because the Lord is near you now and in the future. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that the Lord is near does have a twofold meaning, doesn't it? Not only does it mean that the Lord is present near them and they belong to Christ Jesus, but it also means that the Lord is coming. Paul gives them a reminder that the Lord is about to return soon, and that they belong to the Lord, and that the character they are demonstrating in their lives, their arguing and complaining and their disagreeing and their stirring up this problem in the church, this is not something that would please the Lord, and when He returns, something that they would not be proud of in their lives. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near presently, and the Lord is about to return in the future, soon. Well, that then brings us to verse 6. And after Paul tells them that their gentleness should be evident to all, and that the Lord is near, he goes on in verse 6 to say, do not be anxious about anything. Now, when I think of a statement that the Lord is near, and I think of the idea that the character in my life, as the apostle is telling me, as the apostle is telling them, does not demonstrate the evidence of Christ, that would cause me to be anxious. To know that Christ is near, that he could come at any time, to know that this arguing and disputing going on in the church is not giving evidence to the gentleness of Christ and that we belong to them and to him, this would cause me to be anxious. Anxious at his coming and his soon possible return. But this again is not what the apostle is saying. When he writes, do not be anxious about anything, he's once again addressing their problem. If you were to think for a moment, what is it that causes disputes in your lives? What is it that causes you to be anxious in your lives? So often the cause of anxiousness is when you're seeking to hold on to something earthly. When you're anxious for a job interview, you're anxious because you need the job to make a living or to have more money or to make yourself look better in the eyes of others. When you're anxious about a surgery or a friend who's going to have surgery, you're anxious because you don't know how the surgery will turn out and whether their life will be able to go on as before, whether their life will come to an end or go on. Anxiousness about the future. Anxiousness about how your earthly life is going to go and how it is going to continue. And so because of this anxiousness, difficulties arise. Now take the situation in Philippi. You have these two women who are in disagreement with one another. We don't know what the situation is or what exactly the issue is over, but it must have been something that had to do with a dispute over an earthly possession or of a reputation, or about who is right and who is wrong. A situation in which one person will not admit that they are the one at fault, or the other one will not admit that they are the one who is wrong. Both of them are totally in the right. Both of them have sought to have others uphold them and their reputation and their ability to say that they are right. And both of them are anxious about holding on to their earthly reputation. And so the apostle writes to them, do not be anxious about anything. Do not seek to hold on to these earthly things that cause you to be anxious. Your focus is in the wrong place, he is saying. Don't you recognize that the Lord is near? Don't you recognize that you belong to him? That he is your Savior? That he has delivered you? That even now he is present with you as you stand before his face, living your lives in union with him and in his presence. You have no reason to be anxious about the things in this world, because in Christ you have all that you need. In Christ you have all the reputation you need. In Christ you have all the identity that you need. You have no need to be anxious about earthly things or things that perhaps you are seeking to hold on to in this life that cause you to be anxious and fearful about the future and about this world. he doesn't stop there, does he? Because he goes on to say, "But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." How have the Philippians responded to this dispute? Well, in Philippians 2, verse 14, we read, the apostle tells them to do everything without complaining and arguing. In their anxiousness, in their efforts to hold on to this earthly reputation or this earthly possession or whatever it is they are disputing over, they have responded to these things by arguing and complaining with one another. They have responded to the Lord's providence, to the situation that has happened in their lives, with arguing and complaining to the Lord and arguing and complaining to one another. In their anxiousness to hold on to their earthly possession, their earthly whatever it is, they have responded with arguing and complaining. And what does the apostle say? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Instead of being anxious and responding so poorly, Yodia, Syntyche, and fellow Philippians, bring your requests to God. Bring your prayers and petitions to God, comma, and notice what it says, with thanksgiving. Now, a lot of people use this verse, or the last part of this verse, to say, well, look, the apostle is telling us here that when we pray, we must always have thanksgiving in our prayer. We need to always have our praise and our thanksgiving and then our confession and then our, you know, as they work their prayer through. See, Paul's telling us in this verse we've got to pray and have thanksgiving in there. But that's not all what the apostle is saying, you see. They offer their prayers and petitions about whatever it is in their life that makes them anxious with thanksgiving. It is all done in the context of thanksgiving. It's recognizing, as you make your prayers and petitions, that God has already richly provided for you, that God has already provided a Savior for you, that He has already delivered you from sin and death, that God is completely in control of your life, no matter how anxious you are about the future or what you might lose, and you are to be thankful for what He has given you as you make your prayers and petitions before Him. As you present your requests to God, as you take whatever it is that might cause you to be anxious and put it before His face, doing it with thanksgiving and gratefulness for the rich way He has always provided for you. You see what the apostle is saying to these Philippians in this verse. Here is this dispute going on. Here are these two women in dispute over some earthly thing that they seek to hold on to for their own self and their own reputation. And all their energy that goes into preserving that, the apostle says, don't be anxious about it. I have provided salvation, God says, in Jesus Christ. You have all that you need to be thankful for. And as you continue to present your requests to God, as you continue to give your prayers and petitions for whatever you're concerned about for the future, do it with thanksgiving, not with anxiousness, but with thanksgiving for the way that God has provided and will continue to provide for you And as you trust him, as he provides, your dispute will go away. As your anxiousness goes away, so does your dispute, your difficulty, your lack of trust in God and his providence. You see, when the apostle writes, "The Lord is near," it is a reminder for the present and for the future. As for the present, it is a reminder that they continue to live their lives in the presence of God, that they stand each day before his face. How can you be anxious as you stand before God in heaven, in his presence, anxious about anything you might need? How can you imagine yourself someday standing before God and saying, I'm nervous about my job interview. Lord, I'm nervous about so-and-so and his surgery they're facing, or the surgery I'm facing. You see, as you stand before God, you recognize it's all in his hands. He's in control. He will resolve whatever it is for his glory and for his kingdom. And as Paul reminds the Philippians, and as Paul reminds us, that this is how we must be, he concludes by telling us that he understands too. For if anybody had cause to be anxious, it would be the apostle. He's in prison. He finds himself in chains. He knows that very soon he could lose his life, perhaps with his head being cut off. If anyone would have cause to be anxious, it's Paul. But look what he writes in verse 11. "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want." How can the apostle write such words when he finds himself in such a situation? It's because the apostle can identify himself in Christ. He recognizes what it means to have union with Jesus Christ. And because he knows where he stands before the Lord, he has no reason to be anxious. Oh, he's got prayers and petitions. Oh, he's got concerns about the future and about Epaphroditus, who almost died, and about the Philippians church and their suffering. And he prays for them and he's concerned about them. None of that is wrong. But he's not anxious to the point where it's causing him to complain and to argue about his situation. But he prays with thanksgiving, recognizing that in Jesus Christ he has all that he needs, that he belongs to him, and that forever he will live and dwell with God. Oh, if our words could echo the words of the apostle. Oh, if we could say the words of verse 12, "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." May these be the words of our lips. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word, and we thank you for the words of the apostle. We thank you for the reminder of what it means to be content and happy in each and every situation. We thank you for the reminder to not be anxious about the future. Help us to recognize, Lord, that what does cause us to be anxious pales in comparison to your glory. May we, Lord, live for you and not for the future or the things that we seek to hang on to in this world. But may our focus be on the resurrected Lord and the salvation He has provided. And may our lives echo the thanksgiving in which we are to give to You for the way You have provided for us. And Father, as we are concerned about others, as we are concerned about the future, may our prayers and petitions go to You with thanksgiving for the way You have already provided. And that, Lord, You may keep us from complaining against You about whatever situation may come our way. We pray for Your grace, for Your strength, each and every day, that we, Lord, may demonstrate the gentleness of Christ in evidence to others. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.